Radio.com. Okay, everybody, thank you for joining me on the 58th and final edition of the Bettors Box for the 2015 Major League Baseball season. My name is Adam Burke. Happy to have you with me here for this final show. A few plugs to get out of the way before I get into today's Major League Baseball content. Make sure you download our app, the Bang the Book app, in the iTunes store, available for your iPod Touch, iPad, iPhone, Android. I promise you it's coming soon. We're still waiting to hear back from the developer on the progress of that, but it will be coming out very soon. Tune in to the College Football Podcast, myself and Kyle Hunter, a special Sunday night recording this week. Tune in to the Gridiron Gambling Report, myself and Cole Ryan, every Tuesday. Cole also doing Betting the Buckets, his NBA podcast, three times a week on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. So for those hoops heads that are out there that enjoy that show, happy to have that back. Make sure you follow Cole on Twitter, at ColeRyan9. Join the Buckets Brigade. Also, while I'm at it, follow me on Twitter, at SkatingTripods. And I don't think I've ever failed to respond to a tweet that I've gotten from somebody. So please make sure that you hit me up on there throughout the off season for baseball. Of course, I'll still be doing football and everything else. Also, some new and exciting changes will be coming down the line for Bang the Book. Not at liberty to discuss them yet, but things are going to certainly go in a different, I shouldn't say a different direction, but we're going to be doing some things here over the next few weeks that are going to make everybody very happy. We're very, very excited about that. So make sure you keep it tuned to Bang the Book. A lot of things coming your way here as we go through the rest of football season and then start to focus on the winter sports, college basketball coming up as well. So plenty to be keeping an eye out for at bangthebook.com. All of our content, our great written content at bangthebook.com. We've got NBA previews, NHL game previews, NASCAR, golf, of course, football. Everything that you could possibly want, your one-stop shop for sports betting insight and analysis. Check out our affiliates, our sportsbook reviews, exclusive deposit bonuses for bangthebook.com readers, 300% deposit bonuses for both BetDSI and Galaxy Sports if you sign up through bangthebook.com. Definitely want to take advantage of that. Head on over to our forums, talk to like-minded folks. Again, like I said, bangthebook.com, your one-stop shop for all of your sports betting needs. So for this show, I'm going to go ahead and recap Game 3 of the World Series. I already talked about Games 1 and 2 on the Thursday recording. Talk a little bit more about what's going on in Toronto. I'll have a pick for Game 5 of the World Series, and then I will sign off for the final time for this season. Looking at Game 3 of the World Series, obviously everyone's talking about the Noah Syndergaard controversy. Throws one over the head of Alcides Escobar to open up Game 3. For those of you that don't know, Alcides Escobar been swinging at the first pitch in every game. Obviously wasn't going to swing at one thrown at his dome. Now, it seems to be fairly sharply divided, a pretty polarized set of opinions here on this. People complaining at Syndergaard for throwing up around a guy's head because, you know, you're not supposed to do that. You could severely injure somebody. Some other people taking offense with how the Royals reacted to it, how the Royals are you know, coming to the defense of Alcides Escobar. Look, to me, neither side is wrong here. It's fortunate that Syndergaard didn't hit him in the head, but this was more symbolic than anything else. Of course, the Royals, you know, upset that it was around the head. Syndergaard, you know, didn't really play all that coy with the media. It wasn't one of those, well, it just kind of got away sort of things. You know, everyone knew that that was a purpose pitch. It was a message pitch. I have no problem with it. You know, he didn't hit him. So, of course, you know, there's not really anything to get too upset about. The Royals have no problem with throwing at people. Game 3 starter Yordano Ventura has done it in the past several times. And, you know, he's gotten criticized for it a little bit, but of course his teammates always support him. So, you know, it was interesting to see the irony there with the shoe on the other foot since Ventura was pitching Game 3. Was it dangerous? Maybe. Was it stupid? Possibly. Was it calculated? Absolutely. I don't think that it really had any bearing on the game necessarily, but it is something to consider. Some people are calling it a turning point to the series. I don't really think that it's that. I think it was one pitch and everyone's going to get past it now. But, you know, props to Syndergaard for owning it. He said, you know, if Kansas City has a problem with it, they can come out 60 feet, 6 inches and talk to me about it. So I give him a lot of credit for that kind of attitude. The Mets probably needed a spark. You know, they had that devastating game one loss, blown out in game two. Maybe this did fire them up a little bit, but the Mets did pick up that must-win game. The offense got back on track, and they added on late, which was really big because this Royals bullpen, a huge strength. Sometimes they can appear completely invincible. They got the runs off Franklin Morales and the guys that followed him up. You know, Wade Davis didn't pitch again. which was kind of interesting to me because Terry Collins used Juris Familia and Tyler Clippert, also used Addison Reed in this game. I understand that why you want to keep them fresh. You know, they're coming off of a day off, but I think when you get Familia a chance to sit down and just enjoy a game, I think you have to take that chance. I really didn't agree with Collins using him in a 9-3 game in that mop-up situation. But Noah Syndergaard is really the story of this game for me. Yes, the Mets scored some runs. Yes, they needed to do that. But Syndergaard gave up 3 runs in the first 2 innings of this game, and then he settled down in a big way, gave the Mets 6 innings, 16 swings and misses for Syndergaard, which is big because it proves that they can get some swing and miss out of this Royals lineup. And, of course, the Mets scoring in the first inning was huge. Syndergaard gave up that first inning run. Mets came back, took a 2-1 lead. Syndergaard gave up the 2-1 lead, but the fact that the Mets weren't down 3-0 and were instead down 3-2, that was a big turning point in the game. Yordano Ventura did not pitch very well. The overworked bullpen had to go 4 2/3 in the losing effort. As I mentioned, Wade Davis didn't pitch, but Kelvin Herrera did. Danny Duffy pitched. Chris Medlin pitched. He's a guy coming back off of major surgery. He hasn't worked back-to-back days, so it'll be interesting if he's available for Ned Yost in Game 4. Something I did overlook entering the series, and this has been a narrative that's kind of been gaining some steam here throughout the World Series, that the Mets rotation looks tired. And it's very possible that they are. It's something that I overlooked, something I should have considered more. There's some swing and miss there, but the thing about fatigue is that it leads to inconsistent command. That's been the issue so far for the Mets. Too many hittable pitches, flat sliders, straight fastballs in the hitting zone. So we'll see if they're going to be able to dig deep here in the rest of this series. And look, you know, they're an Alex Gordon game one home run away from being up 2-1. So that's really the biggest hit in the series so far. We'll see what the Mets are able to do in Game 4. No sense giving out a pick in Game 4 because it's coming up shortly after I finish recording the show here on Saturday afternoon. But if you go back to Thursday's show, I did take the Mets in that game. I like the matchup for Mets. I also like the Mets are seeing Chris Young for a second time, which is a good segue into my pick for Game 5. The series staying in New York for Game 5 at Citi Field, so no Kendrys Morales for the Royals. Edinson Volquez gets the ball in this game. And by now, everybody knows the story with Volquez. You know, he battles through Game 1. Royals come back and win the game late. Meanwhile, after Volquez comes off the mound, he finds out that his father had passed away prior to the game. So a lot of highs and lows there, very emotionally draining. You know, fortunately, I haven't lost a parent, but of course I know people that have, and you know, it's a very difficult thing. Everyone deals with it in a different way. Volquez now back with the team. I'm sure that helps him kind of, you know, keep his mind off of everything, and maybe he'll be able to grieve once the season's over. But even from an emotional and mental standpoint, from a physical standpoint, Volquez, you know, goes from Kansas City to the Dominican Republic to be with family after Game 1, goes back to New York before Game 3. So that's a lot on him. That's a lot to deal with. It's tiring enough to be this late in the season. On the other side, you've got Matt Harvey. Harvey facing Kansas City for the second time. We'll see what kind of adjustments he's able to make. But to me, the story in this game is Edinson Volquez. The second time he faced the Toronto lineup in the ALCS, gave up 5 runs on 3 hits with 4 walks and only struck out 2 over 5 innings. He did not make very many adjustments. I don't know if he has the capability of making adjustments. He's going to go out and battle. I don't know how much he'll have in the tank, but the fact that the Mets have already seen him, you know, leads me to believe that the Mets can have some success here. Yes, Kansas City has already seen Matt Harvey, but Matt Harvey's stuff is much better than Edinson Volquez's. So I'm going to look to the Mets in Game 5. There are a lot of reasons for it. I think this line is going to be inflated because everyone knows about the Edinson Volquez situation, and it'll especially be inflated if the Mets have a chance to go up 3-2, you know, and take care of all 3 games at Citi Field. But I'm going to look to the Mets in this one. Of course, it would be that storybook ending that the media is looking for if Volquez can pitch the Royals either to a 3-2 advantage, you know, or close out the series. But I think it'll be the Mets in Game 5. So some additional thoughts I wanted to give out on the Mark Shapiro, Alex Anthopoulos fallout in Toronto. I had to throw some things together pretty quickly for Thursday's show because it was breaking news right before the show. Now that I've gotten a chance to sit on it for a couple days, the entire thing makes a whole lot of sense for both sides. For one thing, you've got the Rogers family who they were seeking out a guy like this, a guy like Mark Shapiro that's built a team under strict financial restrictions, a guy that, you know, knows how to go out and bargain bin shop, a guy that wants to develop internally. Alex Anthopoulos was not a big prospect guy. They traded Noah Syndergaard and Travis d'Arnaud for R.A. Dickey and Jose Reyes. You know, and then he went and sold the farm for David Price, picked up Troy Tulowitzki. You know, these are popular moves with the fan base because they show a willingness to go for it. And yeah, maybe you get a year, maybe you reap the benefits for a year or two. But if the Rogers Communications isn't willing to put a whole lot of money into this team on a consistent annual basis, then it's all about developing the minor league system. And Shapiro is a guy that did that in Cleveland. Of course, Chris Antonetti has had more success with it, you know, since Shapiro moved into the team president role. But, you know, it makes sense to go in this direction because Jose Bautista, Edwin Encarnacion, R.A. Dickey, all free agents after the 2016 season. The minor league system is completely gutted. Marcus Stroman, you know, of course, he accrued service time while he was on the shelf with the ACL this year. So arbitration's coming up for him. I believe that's after the 2017 season. So that'll be coming up for him. So, you know, I see both sides of this. I understand why Shapiro came to Anthopoulos and said, you know, look, we need to focus long-term here. This needs to be a process. We need to go through some growing pains of rebuilding the farm system. And I don't blame Alex Anthopoulos for not wanting to do that. I mean, it was going to be a five-year contract, so he would have had the necessary window to rebuild this team into a contender. But, I mean, he's been fighting an uphill battle, mortgaging the farm system, trying to get this Toronto team into relevance. They're into relevance for 1 year, and then now things are going to start to fall apart. So I understand why he wants to go somewhere else, try something new. When you look at this entire situation, there are a lot of parties at fault here. The Rogers Communications Group is at fault. You know, they pushed Paul Beeston out of the picture so that Alex Anthopoulos would gain more power this year. Anthopoulos, with more power, took this team to the playoffs. And then now they're taking away Anthopoulos' power by going with Mark Shapiro. I'm sure that didn't sit well with Anthopoulos. And the media is also to blame here for this because the media really sensationalized this story right away, using the verb scolded for how Mark Shapiro approached Alex Anthopoulos about trading away prospects. It's probably not the way that it went down. Maybe it is. Shapiro didn't really give off that impression in Cleveland. And of course, I would know because you know, I followed Shapiro for a long time. But the media had something good to talk about this year with Toronto. They were relevant. Anthopoulos, a Canadian-born guy, you know, a guy that's been there through some tough times with Toronto. So he's kind of developed, you know, a good working relationship with the media. He's also very good with the media. Shapiro, not good with the media at all. Guy that speaks in cliches, very vague, you know, doesn't really like to publicly talk about the direction of the team, keeps his cards very close to the vest. And that's going to be a complete contrast to what Anthopoulos was. So, you know, this whole situation in Toronto, it doesn't look very good right now. It probably won't look very good for the next couple of years because Toronto, they need to go through a rebuilding process now because their window is closing rapidly. So just wanted to give some extra thoughts on that. I didn't really have a whole lot of time to you know, throw some things together for Thursday's show, but I wanted to make sure that I got to touch base with that once again. Last note here, the Marlins not retaining Dan Jennings. Dan Jennings went from the GM to the managerial office so that Jeffrey Loria wouldn't have to pay another manager. As it turns out, he'll be paying Dan Jennings, who's owed about $4.5 million through 2018. So now he's technically paying four managers because he didn't retain Dan Jennings. We'll see where Dan Jennings ends up here this offseason. Amazingly, friends, we've reached the end of the Bettors Box for this season. My heartfelt thanks and gratitude to everybody that has listened from the start and to those that have caught on late in the season. I hope that this show has helped you. You know, it's really helped me with my reads on the games to be able to talk through my thoughts. I'm ever grateful to Ryan at Bang the Book for giving me this platform. You know, it started with the college football and the NFL shows a couple years ago. We were just doing those once a week. You know, now our podcast content has really grown and branched out here. You know, when I approached him about doing the MLB show and he was fully on board with it when I talked to him at the beginning of the season, and you know, it's been a great success. And you know, I appreciate everyone that's reached out to me. There are so many of you. There are just too many to list. But, you know that I appreciate all the feedback. It really does make my day to get compliments about this show or about any of the other shows I do for Bang the Book. You know, and lately people have been reaching out to me and asking me, you know, Adam, how do you do it? How do you keep all these games straight? How do you keep all these leagues straight? You know, and the podcasts have been basically a five-day-per-week thing for me. But, you know, there are a lot of a lot of reasons why I keep it all straight. You know, I don't want to get sappy and cliche, but the listeners are a big reason why I do this, why I'm able to keep all my thoughts together. You know, it means a lot to know that your work is appreciated and respected, and it's a big motivating factor to keep doing these shows, to keep growing this audience, to do whatever I can to grow the Bang the Book brand. And, you know, by you guys reaching out to me, you know, telling me that you appreciate the show, asking for my insight, you know, congratulating me for winners, applauding me for winners, you know, I appreciate all of it. It means the world to me, and, you know, I just wanted to make sure that I made that very clear here on this last show. Keep an eye out for my Major League Baseball season win total series. That'll start up in February once we get those numbers. Atlantis Casino and Sportsbook in Reno, usually the first ones to post. They have $500 limits on those, and then everybody else in the market kind of follows and puts their own spin on them. I write very, very in-depth previews. You won't find one that's smaller than 2,000 words. Looking at off-season acquisitions, statistics that are going to regress, some reasons to believe in these teams. I look at the minor league systems. I look at everything. You will be fully prepared for the Major League Baseball season if you read these. Prior to that, you know, over the offseason, we'll have sporadic Major League Baseball articles with trades, winter meetings, you know, updated futures odds, all that kind of stuff. But, you know, you can always find me on Twitter at Skating Tripods. I'm always happy to talk about baseball, you know, whether it's December or whether it's June. It doesn't really matter to me. Baseball, in terms of sports, is my true passion. You know, I think that that's come across probably on these shows. But I'm always willing to help you out with any thoughts that you may have, any questions that you want answered, or if you just want to chat, just want to throw something out there and get my take on it, you know, I'm happy to do that. But we will really ramp up the baseball coverage as the season draws closer. So thank you once again, everybody. Greatly appreciate everything. Thank you so much for that. And remember, for the last time this season, that you'll never strike out when you're in the batter's box.